I love you. Isn't it wonderful to be in the house of the Lord? My goodness. Thank you. Thank you for teaching your children at home about Jesus. Thank you. That's so important. And what an illustration this morning. Didn't Debbie do? She always does a great job. But this was the top, the brownies. I'm telling you, those brownies are awesome. They really are. You put a little vanilla ice cream on them. And we had some, didn't we, Danny? Yes, when we had a little fellowship there at the house and we played cornhole. Debbie made brownies, and those are special. When I preached Mom's funeral, I talked about her brownies and how good they were, and what a gracious lady she was. She taught Sunday school at First Baptist Church in Greenville for 60 years. And those children loved her so much. She taught my own grandson. And after Mop, we call her Mop. Her name is Mary Jane, but we call her Mop and Pop. And that's another story. But anyway, my own grandson, after Mop went on to be with the Lord, my own grandson didn't want to go to Sunday school because she wasn't going to be there. And what a gracious, wonderful lady. And the greatest thing she ever said to me was, she says, "Roger, I'm so glad you married my daughter." Amen. You know, life is tough. It's tough. I want to preach on the subject this morning, peace. There's somebody here this morning, as I was studying this sermon, the Lord spoke to my heart. There's somebody, maybe more than one, you're struggling this morning. You're struggling with something in your heart and in your life. And you just can't get a handle on it. You just can't get a grip. And, I want you to have peace. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. We're living in a world where there's no peace, or very little peace. Now, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. There will never be world peace until Jesus comes back. But what the Bible tells us and teaches us is that you can have peace with God. You can have peace with God, and not only that, you can have peace with each other. That's what the cross did for us. And I want you to realize that this morning, because somebody is struggling really bad. Now, we all have our struggles in life. But you may be here today and you say, "Brother Roger, I believe this sermon is just for me because I'm struggling. I don't have any peace. My joy is gone. My smile is gone. My laughter is gone." When I think about peace, there's three things I think about. Number one, there's peace fakers. There's those that fake it. We've all done it, haven't we, folks? We've all done it. We've all come to the point in our life where sometimes we just fake it. We go on, but there's peace fakers. There's also peace breakers. There's people that always they try to break up the peace that's going on in a family or in a church or in a situation. They're always trying to stir up something. Always. They're not content. And the thing about it is they're struggling inside themselves. And they need, there's peace fakers, there's peace breakers, but there's also peace makers. The Bible tells us that blessed are those peacemakers. In the Beatitude, Jesus said, "Blessed are those that are peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." Take your Bible, turn with me Turn with me to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. In this text, we see that Jesus is getting ready to be crucified. He's getting ready to leave the disciples. And they are afraid. They don't have any idea what's going to happen. Jesus just, he's told them about the crucifixion. And in this same scripture, he tells them that before long, you will not see me anymore physically. But he says, I will not leave you alone. I will not leave you abandoned. I will send a comforter. In that same scripture, John 14, he says, I'll send a comforter. The comforter is the Holy Spirit. The word comforter means paraclete. It means paraclete. It means one called alongside to help. The Holy Spirit is our comforter. You may be here this morning. You say, Brother Roger, I don't have any peace. It feels like I'm in a rage. I'm in turmoil all the time in my life. And you may be here this morning because of that. Your joy is gone. Your laughter is gone. Your smile is gone. And you've got a fake smile. And you're hurting, you're broken. The key word, listen, the key word, one of the key words in the Bible is peace. Look what Jesus says, John chapter 14, verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. And bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Look at verse 27. Peace I leave with you. Now he's telling the disciples, he says, I know you're afraid, I know you're troubled, I know there is a rage going on inside of you. He said, but I want you to know, I will not leave you comfortless, I will give you peace. What he is saying to the disciples, he's also saying to you and I this morning. Look what he says. Peace I leave with you. My peace give I unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You see, you can be seated, but in a troubled world that we're living in, the child of God can have peace. This week, listen to me, we need peace in America. 12 police officers were killed this week. This week. I don't know about you, that is alarming to me. That is disturbing to me. What is the answer? Well, I want to give you the answer. What can help us more than anything in the world? The key word in the Bible this morning we're looking at is the word peace. Now, peace carries, listen to me, peace carries the idea of coming together. Peace carries the idea of quietness. Peace carries the idea of rest. So in this word, Jesus is saying, I want you to come together. I want you to rest. I want you to have quietness, not a rage in your soul. I want you to have quietness in your soul. The problem is this. Sin has always separated nations and people. It has always separated people, and it separated countries, it separated nations. But it's the cross of Jesus Christ that is to bring peace into a lost and dying world. The Bible says in Romans 5:1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen to me. The cross of Jesus removed not only the distance between God and sinners. The cross did remove the distance between God and you and I. But it didn't stop there. The cross also removed the distance between one sinner to the other. It's the cross. It's the cross of Jesus that is to bring sinners, people, nations together in peace and harmony. The cross removed the distance between one sinner and another. But listen to me. Satan will set up barriers to keep you from having peace. He will set up a barrier. Those barriers are bitterness, jealousy, guilt, hatred, hatred between races, hatred between cultures. Satan will set up those barriers to keep you from having peace. Listen to me. The devil doesn't want you to have peace in your home. He doesn't want you to have peace in your heart. The devil doesn't want us to have peace in the church or in the nation. Sin will separate us, but it's the cross of Jesus. Look what he said. He said, "Peace I leave with you. I leave with you. My peace give I unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." You see, there's barriers that are set up by Satan. Bitterness. Somebody may be here this morning and you're bitter. You're bitter. You have no peace. You have a raging spirit. And all that comes out is bitterness. Or maybe jealousy. Or maybe guilt. Or maybe hatred. Hatred. Listen, I heard about a young soldier. He was a sailor. And on the ship, he got on the ship, and for 3 days, he hugged the mast. You know what that is? The center of the ship. And for 3 days, brother, he hugged that mast. Well, the officer went out and said, "Son, do you think this ship is going to sink?" He said, "Yes, I do." He said, "Well, won't you let go and prove it?" After that, after he let go, he said, "This is the best thing that I ever did in my life." He says, "I let go. I let go." Listen to me. If you're going to have peace, you're going to have to learn to let go. Let go of that bitterness. Let go of that jealousy. Let go of that guilt. Let go of that hatred. The best thing that you can ever do in your life this morning is to let go and let God take control of your life. Do you want peace? You see, it's the gospel of Jesus that comes to us as the gospel of peace. Oh, it's the gospel that tears down walls that divide us. It's the gospel that gives us deliverance. The gospel. The gospel comes to us. And it's called the gospel of peace. The biggest and most volatile war that's ever been in the history of man is in the human heart. The biggest, most heated battle or war is found in the human heart. The battle is not with people. The battle is not even with the devil. The battle that we face is with God. We run from God like He's going to do something horrible to us. I tell people all the time, God is chasing you not to get something from you. He's chasing you so He can give you something that you cannot even afford. And that's salvation. The battle rages in our hearts. The greatest battle ever fought was not with people, not with nations, but it was in the human heart. You see, humanity is depraved. We're not going to get better. We're depraved. We're lost. We need Jesus. We're depraved, and that depravity will cause us to hate God, to run from Him. Our sin and our depravity will cause us to even hate His kingdom. Our sin and depravity will cause us even to hate Jesus. But listen to me, God has no hostility against you. No, absolutely no hostility against you. He loves you. Jesus died for you, but the thing of it is, we're so depraved that we'll hate God, we'll hate Jesus, we'll hate the church, we'll hate the things of God. Why? Because we are lost. We are depraved. God has no hostility at all toward us. I heard about a little boy, a young boy that got in an argument with some much bigger boys. And they were going to fight. And there was three bigger boys, and here this little boy was standing there, and they were in an argument, and the little boy reached down and he drew a line. And the bigger boys thought, wow. He said, you come over on this line. You cross that line. You come over here. And I'll show you something. All three boys crossed the line. He looked at them and said, now you're on my side. Hey! Now you're on my side. Listen, that's what God wants. He wants you on His side. You cannot straddle the fence. You cannot serve the devil and serve Jesus at the same time. You've got to get on His side. Totally, completely on His side. You see, the Bible says even in our hostility toward God, the Bible says in Romans 5:8, but God commendeth His love toward us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, it's the cross. The cross will end the hostility between sinners and God. Hey! It's the cross that will end hostility between you and I. It's a cross that will give us peace, quietness in our souls. The cross will end the hostility between us and God. Ephesians 2:4 says, but God who is rich in mercy. Somebody ought to say amen. Aren't you glad that you have mercy? People cry out for justice. You don't want justice. You want mercy. God, but God who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us. Even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you are saved. The cross will end all hostility. Got a rage this morning? There's no peace, no quietness in your soul or in your spirit. Let Jesus take care of that for you today. You see, Jesus has come to save us from our sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Listen, the wages of sin is death. One of these days, you will cash that check. You will cash it. If you don't get saved, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, Jesus came to save us from our sin. Jesus came to deliver us from the war raging in us. Jesus came to give us a restful peace. Look up here. Only a saved person can experience the peace of God in your soul. People that aren't saved have a rage in them. A war is being fought between them and God. Only a saved person can experience the peace of God in your soul. The Bible says in Philippians 4, verse 7, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Paul couldn't even, he couldn't even expound on it. It was so powerful. The peace of God was so powerful. All he could say in Philippians 4, 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You see, somebody here today, you're a peacemaker. You just got to fake it. Been doing that most of your life. Somebody here today, you're a peace breaker. You just want to keep things stirred up in the family or in the church all the time. But I believe I'm preaching most of all to peacemakers. Peacemakers, because the Bible says in Matthew 5, 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. A little boy was asked to give a definition of peace, and he said, well, it's when you feel all smooth inside. Listen, peace rules the day when Christ rules the heart. Peace will rule your day when Christ rules your heart. Make it plain, preacher. Turn to John chapter 6. Being saved is a gift. Not of works. It's a gift. And I've said this many times. I'll continue saying it. God makes salvation available to everybody. But He will not put it in your hand. You've got to take it. You've got to reach out for it. And when you do, you'll be able to say, well, God did it. Not me. In this text, I want to show you, Jesus was talking about commitment. You see, salvation is about commitment. Don't try to convince anybody that you're saved if you're not committed. It won't work. You'll be a stumbling block. And when you and I become a stumbling block in somebody's life, the Bible says that God will remove that stumbling block. Jesus was telling the disciples, you've got to be committed. You've got to commit to me. You've got to be faithful to me. Oh, I can worship at home. No, you can't. No, you can't. You can't serve at home. You come to church and you worship here. So many people, the devil is taking so many people to hell because he tells them, you don't need church. Coming to church will not make you a Christian. Being saved makes you a Christian. But coming to church will teach you how to live the Christian life. Jesus was talking to them and look what he said in verse 60. John chapter 6, verse 60. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, heard what? Commitment. This is a hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? We're living in a day where it doesn't take much for Brother Roger to offend people. It used to be conviction. But now people are so sissified. You see, we're to become soldiers of the cross. Look what it says. Doth this offend you? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascended up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. In verse 64, but there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. Verse 65. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. Look at verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back. Why? Because they didn't want to be committed. All they wanted what salvation could bring. They thought salvation was there to feed their bellies, to fill their bellies, to work miracles, to give everything they wanted, to have a prosperous life. And when they saw that Jesus said, no, you're going to commit to me. If you're going to follow me, you got to commit your life to me. And commitment is not easy. It's not easy. But I tell you what, if you commit to Jesus today and get out of those silly excuses that the devil has put in your mind and your heart that it's okay when the Bible says it's not okay, if you get rid of that before you die, I want to tell you something, You will be so blessed. You will have so much peace in your life. Look what it says. But there are some of you that believe not. Verse 65, and he said, therefore, said I unto you, that no man could come to me except by the Father. The Father draw him. Verse 66, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. For 41 years, I've seen this verse played out in my ministry. I've seen it played out so many times. And that's what keeps your preacher awake at night. That's what troubles you, preacher. That's what burdens you, preacher. When people come forward and get baptized, join the church, and then they walk no more with Jesus. It burdens me. It makes me think, God, am I doing the right thing? Jesus. Never get connected in church. Never get dialed in. Never get plugged in. Always just doing what they want. If you don't commit to Jesus, I want to tell you something. You can come to church and not really be committed to Jesus. A lot of people do. Come to church, sit in the seat, sit in the pew, but they're not committed. Not really. Doesn't take anything to keep them from church. Not committed. You're committed. If you're committed, you'll commit your life to Him, what He says. Now, if you're not committed, there will come a time when you walk away and you will not walk with Him anymore. Happens every day. We'll look at verse 67. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? I ask you today, will you also go away? When somebody offends you, when Brother Roger preaches something that stings you, will you walk away? When Brother Roger doesn't do what you think the preacher ought to do, will you walk away? You say, you're not walking away from me. You're not walking away from the church. You're walking away from Jesus. Listen to this. Verse 68. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure. Woo! See, some of you aren't sure. Oh, you believe, but you're not sure. Jesus said, Peter said, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You say, some of you don't have any peace. Oh, you fake it, but you're not really sure. Live your life with a rage. Not against people. Not against even Satan, but against God. Battle against God. And I want to tell you right quick, you will never win that battle. Never. Surrender! Amen! Woo! Just surrender, commit your life to Him. You say, Brother Roger, I've never done that. I've never really surrendered to the Lord Jesus for His will for my life. Well, you need to do it. Listen, you surrender to Him. That means, did you know Jesus? Now listen to me. Jesus is Savior and Lord. Now a lot of people want a Savior. A lot of people don't want to go to hell. A lot of people want their needs met. They want a Savior, but they don't want Jesus Christ as Lord to lord over them. The word Lord means boss. He's our boss. If you're saved, He's your boss. And humanity, our human nature, is not to be bossed by anybody. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit of God reverses that human nature that's in us. And we submit to Him as Lord. You see, you won't do that unless the Father. That's what He said. You won't do that unless the Holy Spirit is dealing with you. The Bible says there is absolutely no peace for the wicked. Oh, they can fake it, and they can die. But if you want real peace, Jesus will give it to you. But you've got to come and ask. Come and ask. Maybe you're struggling. Maybe there's a battle in you you're fighting. You said, Brother Roger, I don't have any peace. Come to Jesus. He said, I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you. Won't you stand with me? Greatest thing that could happen in this church is that people would just let go. Let go. Let go and let God have control in your life, in your marriage, in your relationships. Just let God have control. You see, another thing in our humanity, we want to control things. You can't do anything by control. When it comes to God, you can do a lot more by surrender than you can control. All you got to do is surrender. And that's difficult. And a lot of people walk away from Jesus. And they walk no more. When they finally realize that, you know, salvation is a lot more than just coming down this aisle and kneeling and saying a prayer. When people realize that salvation is a commitment to the Lord Jesus, and then they begin to see the demands that He rightly demands in our life. When they see that, they make a choice. They make a choice whether to walk away or to walk to Christ. Many people do it year after year after year. We also walk away the same, brother.
Yes, there's room at the cross.
People said, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Leave here with peace in your heart. You know, the Lord will give you peace in the storm. In the storm.